Phugasene got recorded in Outer Mongolia by a KPFK music director that turned into a movie. What I'm saying is we have to go beyond what is popular on the scales and stuff, and we have to look deeper. That's a mission of Pacifica. And I say, what kind of efforts you guys make in that direction? How do you distinguish it, what you want to put in the music and arts?
I think, I saw a hand there, actually. Yeah, why don't you speak one more, please?
Even though programming is way out of my league, out of my forte, I have some observations that I've made. I want to go back to Dave's question and refer to what Greg said earlier, which is we are an educational institution and we are also a business. So to answer Dave's question, if I were to have to propose four programs that would be relevant to put on the air for national programming, I would look at current programs. I would look at two, maybe public affairs programs, one arts program, and one music program. And we have those. I can think of four right now. I can even make a proposal on that, in about half an hour. We have to look at what our purpose is. If we are an educational institution, we would want to educate as many people as possible. So I think we would want to expand listeners. We want to reach as many listeners as possible. I don't think it's wise to recycle the same listeners. I don't think we should feel good about the number of listeners we have. I think given our wattage as a network, we don't reach enough listeners. I would look at programs like Democracy Now! That attract listeners and use that model and learn from their model and learn from their practices. Just a few opinions.
I'd like to hear Ursula also, how the affiliates might be involved in such things.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, at least with the early question, I don't wonder how many folks are, but if we were going to be talking about producing such a program, let me be more concrete. Suppose by the fall in our FY07 budget, we needed to allocate some money or figure out a way to fund some national stuff. That means beforehand we need to know what we're doing, so we have to have some outline of it. Some of the other folks talked about what they would do in their signal areas. How would the affiliates be involved? Would you have a way of querying them efficiently, or would you propose something first and then get feedback? What would you do?
I would query them. I have several methods to do that. We do have a, as you know, there's a listserv where such questions can be asked. I also do quarterly conference calls with affiliates and solicit feedback that way. And I also just call people all the time and talk to them. So, yeah, I think we could get feedback from them. I'm sorry, partly I'm having trouble responding, so I'm having trouble understanding exactly what the questions are.
Can I jump in there?
Yeah.
Kind of going back to Dave, if I may, please. Regarding to a special series, this year, it's an election year, general election. Most of our signal areas will be having elections in their respective area. I think that's a very good point of departure for us to initiate some sort of collaboration. We could start off with small steps. For example, utilizing our newsroom, which would, of course, minimize the amount of folks involved in such a thing. We can create thematic days of programming where we could insert, for example, a regional update around the elections and strategically use that to take advantage, exploit, in the case of today, for example, the division between West Coast and East Coast conservatives who are divided over this issue. We can take that as a good starting point, and as we build towards the elections in November, then we can consider having already established, for example, an elections update in our respective news areas that we can incorporate with the mindset that is thematic, and perhaps we can even package it in some way. Utilize Ursula with the affiliates to provide that, and then think, having assessed a month or two of that kind of programming in the next couple of months, assess whether or not we can engage in a nationwide discussion on the air that, again, strategically addresses the conservative state that we're living in. And just to quickly address Sarah's question as to how do we think out of the box, how do we utilize in the arts and culture, again, I think it's important that we look, for those of us who have a challenge in incorporating more arts and culture, that we utilize the airwaves to complement, or I should say supplement, content by engaging in other community efforts that bring out folks, for example, in a speaker series on arts and film, or in an established film festival, which is something that KPFK is looking to launch this year. Again, as part of a media vision that we're looking at it, where our expertise is radio, but we're beyond that. This is bigger than us today.
I think Eva wants to talk.
I'm going to let Donald speak first. I mean, he's a man, but I'm willing to concede.
Sorry. Thank you. You know, there seems to be some concern about what, whether or not, or how do we get the stations to deal with these programs. And I think one of the ways that we do it is to just make them irresistible. You know, just make them as good as they possibly can be, and the stations, I'm sure, will then take it. One of the things that when Sarah was talking, I think that, you know, we have put up an artificial barrier between public affairs and arts programs. I think that our public affairs, those public affairs programs at WBAI that work best also incorporate an arts component. You can't talk about, really have a conversation about people without talking about their culture. And if you, you know, if you can explain generally that their music is what they use to describe their culture, to describe their history, and I think that you have to begin to think about programs and incorporating that, making that a fundamental part of the programs that we do. Therese?
Okay, one of the things that I've spoken about pretty much every time I've come to a board meeting, quarterly board meeting, and I've talked to Greg about this, and I've talked to a couple of other people on our local board. And what I would like to ask is, what is the possibility in terms of fundraising, doing some sort of, it could either be with music, where it's at in all five locations, and hopefully the affiliates will pick up on what we're doing, but where we would all be, we would have this program the same day. And just like the Academy Awards or Grammy, some of them, they do remotes around the country and around the world. Why can't we do a similar thing where there's music that's indigenous to your particular geographic location, but that we're all doing a program that same day and hopefully getting an audience to come to a place. I'm not talking about doing music at the station and having people calling in with money. I'm talking about people being able to get dressed up or something and go to an auditorium or a theater and be able to have a concert where this is going on in five places. And also, as I'm thinking about it in terms of elections, also doing a town hall meetings in five cities and having different people that are running for office, or if not running for office, at least allowing our listeners to be able to come and voice what they feel are the issues that are germane to us locally, nationally, and internationally.
Do you want to respond?
Yeah. And then go further on what Zarina says, I love that idea. And I think you can even go a little further and say, if you have a day like that, you have a day of music, and you do not just use music, you use music that infused, that brought change in the world. You go to the archives and you bring out those archival material that you have. You use the music of the labor movement. You use the music that was used in the anti-apartheid era. You use the music of the Zapatistas. You use the music of the civil rights movement. And then you fuse it with what you have today, and you bring in those artists, and you bring in those artists that can talk about the music that created and what inspired them. And even to go a little further, you don't have to do it in one single area. If you do a whole day of music programming, you can do it out of five single areas. We have 2 hours in KPFK. We go from Berkeley to KPFK, to every, and every station has their own artists lined up, and everybody's listening to each other's broadcast. You know, that's something you do, but that you incorporate the youth, the hip-hop, the older generation, and the music that really everybody, that touches everybody, and that's one thing to do. And, you know, we have a 13-week series on KPFK where people can send in proposals, and they do a 13-week series, so it's easy for us to do. I think right now we are at a critical juncture in history, and really news and public affairs is what should drive Pacifica. But it shouldn't be at the expense of arts and culture. And so if you fuse arts and culture into public affairs, you have a public affairs show, you bring those voices from the archives. You bring a touch of music from the archives. You know, you have a live calling show, and you create a format that has everything in it. So the one, arts and culture doesn't have to suffer at the expense of public affairs. And then you do your special music shows. I think that for elections, we absolutely have to do elections this year. And part of that, it's got to be national, but it also has to be driven by voter education. We can't just do political analysis and not get the masses out to vote. We have to educate people about voting. And the other thing, Sandy, is we got to do labor. We have to do immigration. At some point, we can go to the listeners and say, what it is that you want. But we know what are the critical issues now. Human rights violations, and we really in Pacifica need to do the kind of programming to look at the problem, because for every problem in the world, somebody has a solution. And we can't just look at the problems anymore, we have to look at the solutions. So we talk about human rights violations, and nobody's talking anymore about what is happening in the Sudan. And if we do it, then let's look at how the peace movement happened around the world. How do we train people in nonviolent action? We have to inspire people, have creative production, but inspire people enough to take action in their communities. And that's how I think we make a difference. And that's how we build the movement through radio programming.
I know that Bob wants to speak, and also Rick. So also bring into the discussion what you think in order to bring new programming to the national level, the kind of training and technology needs that we would have to bring to bear to make some of these things happen. Bob?
Thanks. I want to ask the panel to reflect on the last, let's just say, the last 2 years of national specials and comment on four aspects of them generically without naming anyone's name, but both strengths and weaknesses. First, around the hosts, the guests, the formats, and by formats I mean questions like should we broadcast the entire Supreme Court confirmation hearing or highlights, and the mix of outside commentators versus just the actuality of the hearing and listener call-ins, and then the our internal planning process, strengths and weaknesses. I know that's a big question.
It's not a big question, because as GMs, we have been wrestling with this for that long period. One of our NPDs, pardon me, and affiliates, all right, I'm not telling you anybody out, I'm offended, okay, but what's frustrating is that these special, in fact, this is why we support the concept of the National Program Coordinator, because we are having that kind of difficulty. Programs are some are poorly planned, some are poorly executed. We've got, you know, petty squabbles going on between personalities, which is totally unacceptable. We've got, last minute production failures. It's not been done as well as it needs to be done, and it's certainly can be done a hell of a lot done. So, and I think all of us would agree with that. I mean, you know, if we're going to, even the promotional aspects of these specials, when you know, if we're going to do a special about Diebold voting machines, for example, you know, we need to promote that. We need to not only use our airwaves to promote that, but we need to go through mainstream media, newspapers, print, so on, and promote these things so that we can get those listeners who are not aware of what we do and say, hey, what? I've been hearing a lot about this. Let me tune in this day to some station I've never listened to before and see what they're saying about this. This is how we're going to generate new listeners and new audiences also. So don't underestimate the value of promotion in all of this. But promotion, if we're going to promote something, then it has to be a good production also, because when we get those people listening, we want them to hear a credible product.
Pete, yes. Would you like to weigh in here? And we haven't heard yet from Ernesto, who is also a stand-up or in here.
And I like it.
Well, I think at BAI we need to mobilize the college students. We need to go to the CUNYs and the and even to the high school and get the students involved. If we can get them into the station, do a program or a pilot program to let them come and tell their story, and they will have their friends listening, and that's one of the way we can mobilize some of the college students. As far as in New York, we have hundreds of thousands of taxi drivers, and we need to have programs to incorporate those folks into our fold and have a show about taxi drivers, and those are areas that we have neglected so far. And another thing that I'm thinking of is to Serena said about the music and all for that. And those are basically some of the things that I can think of right now.
I know that people want to talk, but I mean, this has been a great discussion, but I have to admit, I got to say, I'm not really hearing direct answers to the questions, some of the questions that are being asked. I mean, because I'm asking you, how do you do it? How do you make decisions? Who gets a seat at the table? You know, not we're going to do a wonderful show on this, that, and the other thing, but how do we make the tough decisions, and how do we allocate resources? Who actually decides, and what is decided? So, I mean, please, try to be as concrete as possible, because this isn't about policy. This is actually about putting stuff on the air.
Well, I can't answer those. I can speak to the resources and tools available to make some of these decisions happen and to allow for these processes to go through. Also, I mean, we're talking about going forward planning, but there have been specials going on forever. In my 4 years' experience, I've already created infrastructure that these folks here have used and folks, you know, who sat in these seats before they've used. Prior to the war, for example, private chat rooms were set up. All kinds of contact, guest, producer, list information was all available. It's still there. So there's communication resources available. For us, planning resources. The other day we discussed at the operations meeting for us to have everything from project management tools, calendars, etc., that's password protected for us to use. So all these things are in place. Some of them have been in place for a few years. Just a couple of quick things to do. When you speak of how to execute, support staff is necessary. I'm technically a webmaster, and I do operations support for people on a national level that I have no qualification for, because there's no one else. Technical resources could be available that would make things a lot easier and cheaper, a better quality sound, etc. Hardware, software, specific things that I can mention. But and finally, training and sharing of information, so that all the stations can come up to a certain par. We have various levels of technical skills at the stations. If we can level them off, it would help things run a lot smoother.
Ernesto?
Yeah.
John would like to ask a question. Alan would like to ask a question.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
I think getting to the question of how, first and foremost, takes planning. But the biggest criticism that I've had of a lot of our national broadcasts is that they have come together so quickly and kind of been slapped together in a lot of respects. And as a result of that, you see a lack of communication, you see a lack of planning, or not everybody being on the same page. So part of that planning, in terms of getting into this question of how, is getting everybody together and really understanding this is what our broadcast is, but not only that, but what is our purpose for doing this broadcast? What does Pacifica want to get out of this broadcast? Not just to talk about the Sensenbrenner bill or Katrina, but what are we trying as a network to get out of that? This touches back on the issue that Ava brought up around programming philosophy and programming vision. and where we're going. Another issue for me that's been a little dismaying in terms of how we get to this how part is really actively involving new voices and involving youth in these programming decisions. Getting new producers involved. We tend to fall back on people that we always have on these broadcasts, but as a result of that, we're really not starting to cultivate this new line of leadership, this new line of producers who can really make these broadcasts, for me, a little bit more effective. I appreciate you bringing all of us out here, because this type of conversation, this type of meeting should have happened a few years ago. I now have a relationship with two of the PDs here, and I think that will help us as a network go a long way towards planning. I now have a relationship with Armando where I can say, hey, we have an idea here in Houston that I got from Deb. What kind of resources do we have in LA? What type of resources does Bernard have at BAI? What type of resources does Ron have? And how can we bring those to the PNB? Or maybe not even a six-month plan, but a one-year, two-year plan of here is programming calendar, the things we want to do. That hasn't been happening in a long time. Having these types of discussions and these types of meetings where we all actually can talk face-to-face about the programming, I think is going to be critical.
Personal?
I think because I'm more connected with the infrastructure level, I think about this more less in terms of what the subject matter should be. Although I do want to say in terms of subject matter, I think that to foster the great tradition of investigative reporting would be a great thing to keep on the radar, because that is what Pacific has really shown in the past, and I hope that we keep that there. But having said that, I have in the last few years by default ended up in one way or another working on a national level relating to programming, so I want to make a few comments based on that. I think that at least a large number of people in this room are aware of the fact that even though people, you know, can say glowing things about great ideas, that I think we know that this is an issue that is very thorny underneath the surface. And that this, in fact, was one of the things that tore our network apart and set the stage for what happens in the late 90s. The network started to head towards national programming. They were introduced by the Iran-Contra hearings and Pacifica News, and there began to be pressure to work as a national network instead of as individual stations. And that process aroused all sorts of, you know, issues between stations and people's fears about being pushed too quickly into having to be something they're not. And a lot of conflict was generated that eventually set the stage for what we know has happened. So I want to acknowledge that what we're doing here is something that is more than just coming up with great ideas. We really have to set the foundation person to person throughout the network so that we can do this in a secure way. And I don't think that always is going to mean national specials where everybody's going to be simultaneously doing something. It's going to be a lot more complicated than that. And my experience has been where we do actually have a national program that nobody talks about. Sprouts is a Pacifica national program, for better or for worse. And even though within the network, it's way below the radar, the truth is, in the rest of the country, in the affiliate world, it is a branded Pacifica national program and gets remarkable coverage. I mean, if you look at our stats in the audio port, we're always between 40 and 90 hits a week. And so what happens there? And so what I think I've learned from my experience is that ultimately it's person to person to person. There is no fast, easy way to do this. You have to start connecting one person to the other and to the other. And I have to say, in my experience, in my job, because I work on the audio port, because I work with the affiliates, I talk with a lot of producers around the network all the time. They're always calling me for this and that. And I am always astonished at the level of isolation that the producers at our station are working on in terms of their understanding of what they can do with the network. And it is really just a process of, you know, people in administrative positions, and the national coordinator will be mostly an administrator, just hooking up the different people. And I'll just give you a really brief example so it's not so abstract. When the hurricane came to Texas, or we thought it was going to come, you know, a bunch of people went down to Texas. They decided they wanted to get on the satellite and cover it on the satellite. Probably not the best idea, but they really wanted to do it. Okay, fine. And so, you know, they called me up because at the time I was in charge of scheduling the satellite. We want to be on the satellites, and we're going to do headlines. You know, so I said to him, I said, well, you know, are you aware that Pacifica has a headline news program? You know, have you spoken with Verna? You know, is she aware of what you're doing? They were like, oh, you know, and you know what I mean? And it's like, it's not a big thing. It's not their fault. It's just that we have never, like Ernesto said, we never have a chance to sit together and talk the way the PNB does four times a year. There is no format for us to get to know each other. And so when I said to them, you know, Verna's doing headlines, why don't you work with her? They were fine, you know, and they started to do that, and Verna got their headlines, and they worked with her, and it all evened out very quickly. But they were isolated from each other. And so partly I think what I'm saying is when you hire a program director, please hire somebody who knows how to do that, who knows how to just connect the dots, because it really gets down to, you know, just connecting individuals throughout the network and throughout the affiliates network, too. And that's what Sprouts does. It's just constantly, you know, connecting people who can work together, and you just keep going at it. And if you do it like that, you're not going to get into the kind of trouble that we got into before with the network, where people got really kind of freaked out by each other, and, you know, we got into this big fight about issues that were artificial, really. It's person to person to person. And just real quickly in answer to Bob's question, I just have one thing to say about that. I mean, primarily the way specials have been happening, you know, except when Stephanie was doing elections coverage. We had a, you know, paid producer then. Other than that, it's basically whoever at a station comes forward with a proposal and, you know, can show that it's worthy, does it. And I think that in reality, the program coordinator is going to have to, in some way, continue that and make it his or her job to encourage people to, you know, at stations to be the eyes and the ears. You know, and for instance, it really breaks my heart that that today was not covered by National. I mean, today was the day, you know, for us to cover something. But, you know, there was nobody kind of driving the stations and checking in and saying, hey, you know, Kay, what do you think? Like, do we have something here? Should we go for it? You know, you need somebody to proactively reaching out to the station and say, what's coming down the road in your area? And just keep working it and working it. And it's going to happen partly that way.
It wasn't just national programming. It was an attempt for the board to change the rules of the game so they could get control of the network and not have to listen to other people and run a specific program. So I understand.
It was much more than
Hold on one second. I know Eva wants to talk, but I want to make sure that someone on the board would like to get into this conversation right away. This way, Don and Rip are coming.
Well, I'm not a producer, so I hope this question is not naive and so on, but I am going to use a special that was done at KPFK some time ago on teenage suicide. It was great. And I always felt that that program, which did do what the compañera suggested, is go into the high schools and go into youth and start talking. Teenage suicide is probably the major cause of death among youth between a certain demographic. Here's my question. When we get the national program coordinator, is the scenario going to be something like this? The coordinator alerts all the stations and the affiliates. There's going to be a three-hour national program on teenage suicide. It's going to be produced in Los Angeles. It's going to include youth out on campuses, in the studio, talking with youth whose brothers or sisters have committed suicide. Health workers, counselors, and then the promotion could be, but 1 hour will be local. So 2 hours of programming from a station, then 1 hour will be at the local stations and affiliates where they can link in to their own youth and so on. If you had a month, this is being concrete, if you had a month, notice, 1 month, and then, as someone suggested, going into, you know, promote literature, the newspapers that are out on the street, would that be a kind of scenario that would actually allow the national programming? Then the question comes up, program directors and general managers be willing to say, oh my God, 3 hours, who gets preempted? You know, who's going to give up the time? Is that kind of a scenario that would work?
Eva, did you want to respond to that?
Also, try to address some of the last stuff. When it comes to preemption, when it comes to the decisions of programming, GMs and PDs has the final decision. That's it. But the important thing is that we create a process of collaboration. At our station, Mondo facilitates a weekly producers meeting where unpaid programmers and paid programmers come together and they talk. And the senior producers are very much a part of that. Alan's there every week. And we talk about what we're doing for the weeks coming up ahead. You know, if we can get a national commemorative calendar together for Pacifica, that would help a lot. But you know what Pacifica is really good at? Not telling its own success stories. We just don't. And so part of what we do has to be marketing nationally what we're doing, promoting it, and the GMs and PDs around the network are not talking to each other, except when we come to these board meetings. So one of the things is what Greg has started doing is to have conference calls with the GMs and PDs and to have the operations council be effective and have continuous communication where we look at the issues of programming proposals. We said that all proposals for national programming should come to the GMs where we discuss it with our PDs and make decisions. So I think how you go to the operations council, and when we talk about resources, we have resources, people. We have the KU, we have audio cord, we have bandwidth, we have the ISDNs. So when we do it, it's a matter of saying, are all the stations committed to doing the national program without having a must carry and without it being a continuous fight to get programming nationally on Pacifica? Can we make a commitment to national programming? And when we do it, you don't go ask to preempt, you preempt. You preempt, that's what you do. You know, you send out a notification, we say, where possible, we give a 2-week notification to programmers. That's our policy. So if you have a policy decision that programmers know, in terms of critical news issues, you just have to deal with it. But there's something else, not yet outside of us deciding on long-term national programming and finding money for it. We could easily launch national news. We don't have a national newscast being broadcasted on Pacifica. We don't have national headlines. So we don't operate as a network except when we look for money. We have headlines. We have the resources. Can we consolidate our newsroom so that we can launch a national headlines? And all you have to do is station send their stories, upload it through audio phone every day. Somewhere it's getting produced in one of the stations, and you send it out. It's on your air. It's on your website. Through KPFK, we have unlimited bandwidth. We can make bandwidth available. We can create unlimited bandwidth for the network. We put this proposal on the table for 2 years. So if you have that, you create a news channel on the air. Every station produces news. And so as you produce that news every day, it goes into that channel on the website. So you have a 24-hour news cycle going on the website, talking about everything that's happening in this country and beyond. And these things doesn't have to cost us a lot of money. They don't have to take us a lot of months to plan. This is simple to do. But we have to be able to say, we're going to do this without it becoming a continuous life. So we have the resources. But we need to learn to consolidate. Our producers around the network are not talking to each other. And I hear what Alistair is saying. I agree with you. It doesn't all have to be national programming. KPFT has got a great prison radio show. One night, we should just do a national prison radio show, you know, and do a marketing campaign about it. Do a jazz show between WPFW and KPFK. Do a show between BAI and KPFA. What are the things in our network that works, that we can sell? And out of this national programming, we create premiums. We create premiums. Independent premiums, you can't get it anywhere else. It's locally produced. And that's how we turn it into a revenue stream for Pacifica. Thanks.
We have 7 minutes left. So
a few things have been addressed, but what I'd like to also add is that the affiliates can contribute a lot of programming to this endeavor. But what we need in the network, and this is for the five stations, because what I just heard was a lot of promises, but I know that some folks are overworked already in the program director area. So what we're talking about with this program coordinator is someone who can put the word out, and some of this mechanism, Don brought up this great scenario, okay? Even at my station, the lousy budget we have and the tiny 100,000 people in our entire county, all we have an FSRN reporter on our staff who contributes programming for Native American stories. She does reports on Native American stories. Now I know that there's major stations in this country who are affiliates who are just as large and have as many resources as the sister stations do. We've got WORT in Madison, where Russ Feingold, the only senator to vote against the Patriot Act, is right there in town. We have GNU and MNF. We've got the Alaska stations who are well-funded. Their program and news departments ought to be able to contribute. We've got Albuquerque, who want reports from the south. I'm only just...
There's a station in Atlanta, too, that I've heard of.
We have the stations in the south that are really just okay. Now, who we have working for this right now is Ursula and Pete. And this is not appropriate. Luckily, we have now brought forward this job script, or we're going to have a job description for the program coordinator. Now, what the challenge is, and I've heard it from a couple PDs here, is how do we make the national show just as desirable? How did the affiliates come on board? It was because they wanted a program. And that's how they came on. Bernard said, you've got to make it irresistible. But what the real challenge is here is someone has to coordinate that program to make it irresistible.
Yeah.
Therefore, that person needs to be very talented. And I'm wondering whether the national program coordinator will be able to do that, or if we're going to have a national director. Because when we talk about Amy, it's not just a one-hour show. It's not easy to replicate. Because Amy has talent. People like her. It's not just a one-hour show. And we're going to have to do a talent search.
Now, Alan, and then we have room for only just a few more comments because our time is almost up, Alan.
Yeah, Amy has a really large producer staff and a lot of talent. None of our shows have that kind of producer staff. I just want to say this follows from being on the programming committee and with Rob. This was talking about the mechanism of this, and I sort of have seen it as we've gone through the process, something like this. An analog to what we do every Tuesday at 11:30, the producers' meeting occurs between the PDs and the program coordinators. The PDs then meet with the producers and the other programmers around the network. And so there has to be buy-in among the programming directors in the meetings with the programming coordinator for pending national programming. And, of course, the programming coordinator will continue to meet with the programming committee and with the executive director. So that's the structure of implementation. There's a proposal for a national program. Now, what happened in Los Angeles here is that this was being organized basically for a few weeks, and it really began to blow up after the huge demonstration in Chicago. So in specific instances, when it isn't quite 2 weeks' notice, let's say the notice came through 10 days before, could have happened maybe 2 weeks before in this instance, there, and then there has to be buy-in. In other words, this has to be part of the mechanism of implementation in Pacifica programming. He was talking about buy-in in dealing with programming evaluation. There has to be buy-in, and that every programmer has to know when something comes up. Let's say there would be a national special put forward by the program coordinator, consensed on by the five PDs a week after Katrina or a Katrina-like event, right? which given global warming could happen again right away, right? And so it's only a week notice. Then there's buy-in has to be established among the programming directors, among the programmers, that when something like that happens, there won't be 2 weeks notice. That's part of being on the Pacific Station, that you have buy-in, that you're going to get pulled when something like that happens. And then there's national programming. How it's put together and implemented, that's a process, I think, which should be very participatory. A lot of new voices can be brought on. But that, again, has to be a mechanism that comes down through the, I think the new programming coordinator comes in, and we all have to make clear, the PDs, the managers, the PMB, that all of these participatory structures are core to that person's job description.
We have 2 minutes, Ernesto, and then the final word.
I'll make it really quick. I think that the fact that this programming coordinator will come on is going to be a really monumental leap in a lot of ways, because beyond just trying to get buy-in from everybody on what we carry and when we carry it, we're also going to need to talk about how we all, as collectively as program directors, shift our volunteer culture. So we're showing volunteers the benefits of these kinds of programs beyond just saying, okay, you're going to have to be preemptive, that's it, but more making sure that everyone feels a sense of ownership as volunteers.
I mean, it takes consensus. It does take consensus. So if somebody blocks it, you know, that's a big issue.
Right.
It's going to be participatory.
Well, certainly more so than even just all the program directors, but at each individual station, all of us as program directors, having talked with Armando extensively and very, very briefly with Bernard, all of us are having to undergo a shift in the volunteer culture, making people feel that sense of ownership and taking that on, accepting that, not, oh, this is all my time, the issue that seems to be quite a bit, but how can I be supportive of Pacific?
I guess I got the last word, and I'm going to take advantage and make it an opportunistic moment. At KPFK, we're actually just did the final draft for what will become a part two of that suicide special addressing suicide in adults. And that was a national, state, and local focus that we did. And it was a very, very successful program that, in fact, teen suicide centers are utilizing to introduce to their young kids in the Southern California area. So, you know, I, of course, look forward to having had this come up, actually following through on producer Don's idea. So I look forward to further discussions.
I accept the position.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. A few things. First, we're going to be meeting in executive session tomorrow morning. I don't know how much of this you guys actually expected, like if you knew what you were going to get asked or what this was going to even be about. So I know how hard it is to like suddenly shift gears. Any chance you guys could meet to discuss some of these thoughts and things that have been raised while we're in executive session tomorrow morning? Do you guys have time for that? Since you're all here. Okay, well, I hope, I mean, it's none of our damn business, but, you know, Greg will be in here. Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Folks, there is a logistical announcement. This is very important. Something has happened in Los Angeles that never happens. It's raining at this moment. Okay. Now, the reason this is important, that's a lie, but I had to say it. The reason this is important is the so-called 9 o'clock party was an outdoor venue. So it was at the Figueroa Hotel, and it's very close. I'll tell you where that is. So here's the plan. Because it's raining, and you might, if you brought umbrellas, you might get them out. Because it's raining, it's very close to here. You just go out on Figueroa, and you cross Olympic. You were there last night. It's on the west side of Figueroa, almost kitty corner from the hotel. But this is the problem. The venue there was an outdoor venue. So we're going to gather, you just go into the lobby and hang out, and Eva, Georgia, our manager, and others will be there very shortly to tell you where that party is moved to. Because right now she's arranging another venue which she's not announcing.
Before people go, tomorrow the board, I'd like everybody on the board in their seat at 8 a.m. We're going to go till 9:30 in executive session. At 9:30, Lonnie is going to give the CFO report till 10 o'clock, and then we'll be back on our schedule for the day. So please don't be late, because we've got some really serious issues, legal issues, some other confidential issues we need to deal with.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be sleeping under this table, so it's not going to be a problem. Okay. So at your kind of leisure, it's now 9:30 or so. At your leisure, you go out the front, just hurry across Olympic on the west side of the Figueroa Hotel, and just go in the lobby there and hang out, and Eva will be there soon to tell you where.
I got a little bit of a Thank you.